and have it more abundantly. All right, this is the New Living Translation. Want to look on the board or look on the screen and see what it says, right? For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. So the Lord himself is giving this instruction. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So the part that represents the Lord's body is this, right? What you gonna do? What is the purpose of this? Do this in what?
Remembrance
of me. So should we partake of that which represents the Lord's body? And as you partake, remember what he did for you. Hallelujah. Next verse, praise the Lord. In the same way he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement conformed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as oft as you drink it." So the purpose of drinking now is to do what? Remember what? Remember what? Only partake of that which represents the Lord's blood. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until you come again. Next verse. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of Christ. Next verse. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. What does that mean? Examine whoself.
Yourself.
Ensure that everything is right between you and the Lord. And then you partake. Amen? Because what the word says. For if you eat the bread and drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you're eating and drinking God's judgment on yourself. And look at the next verse. And they're serious. I'm not trying to frighten you. That is why many of you are weak and sick. And some have even what?
Died.
So communion is not, it is a serious thing, right? It's a serious thing. And only those who are saved and their hearts are right with God should partake of this. Don't eat and drink unworthily, because the possibility, not every time you get sick mean that you misuse the Lord's cup, right? Don't get me wrong. But some even die because of this. People can die because of this. So we need to eat and drink as the Lord helps us. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you and thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. As you heard today, is Joshua and James. Tomorrow they'll be traveling on flight. They will be going to Panama. Not a ministry, right? And from Panama to Guyana. We thank the Lord for the period of time that they were in the church. Were they a blessing?
Yes.
Were they a blessing?
Yes.
Good. So anywhere you go, you're supposed to be a blessing. Isn't that so? So praise the Lord. So they're going to come again. I don't know the exact time, right? They're going to come again. Hallelujah. So when people come to the house of God, when they come to the Lord, it should be, whenever we go, we should be a blessing. Isn't that so? We should be a blessing. Hallelujah. All right, so we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 30 and verse 5. And let me see how we can get to it. This is what I want to see. Happy to have everybody here, Brother Mike and wife, Sister Anne, and Brother Oral. We welcome you back. Praise the Lord. We're happy to see Brother Ricky today. Hallelujah. and everybody else. Praise the Lord. We missed some brethren today. I don't know what happened, but when you miss brethren in church, you need to give them a call. Isn't that so? Find what happened. Something, I don't know. Sickness, accident, you don't know what happened. We need to find out. Amen? Good. So what the word says here now, and I just want to do this, what you call now. I'm not going to do so much of topical preaching God's will. I'm going to do what you call expository preaching. Everybody, the word expository preaching? Everybody with that? Or are we going to examine the scripture and see what the scripture itself have to say? All right. Hallelujah. All right. Sister Janice is asking me not to take up an offering for Joshua. Anyhow. Praise the Lord. I want us to examine the scripture, right? Praise the Lord. Now, if you have one, so if you have something you want to give him, you can give him, right? Praise the Lord. No problem. All right. The word says here, examine what? Come on, look at the scripture. Come on, help me. This is expository, right? This is what the scripture says. Examine who? Yourself. To see if your faith is genuine. Now, as human beings, you think we like examine other people? Come on, you think we like to examine other people? Who the Bible says force of all of us examine? Huh? You must what? Examine the self. What Jesus said. Why behold the what? The mote in your brother eye. And you don't see a what? Plank. You know what's a plank? Huh? So what Jesus said? A 4x4? Who said a 4x4? So a peck is like a sawdust, right? You see that in your brother eye, and you don't see a whole plank in your own eye. And Jesus tells us, judge not that you be not judged. For what judgment you judge shall be judged, right? What measure you make, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote, the speck of sawdust, I think that is what that meant, in your brother eye? You don't see a whole plank in your own eye. I know Jesus had a hard word to say. He said, thou hypocrite. Do what? Well, amongst this, paraphrase, take the plank from your own eye. Then you're going to see clearly the peck that is in your brother's eye. So, examine yourself. I'm telling you, we can examine everybody else's life. You know what she should do, what he should do, what she shouldn't do, and what he shouldn't do? I mean, come to our own lives. We're not very hard on ourselves. You know, there was one particular brother, one the church that I was in. His brother had failures, I said failures, but we used to tolerate him, we used to pray and do what we can. And some other brother fall in there. And that's such a big thing. And if you heard who you don't want the person, not considering what he was doing. You know how we end up? Out in the church. He left the church himself. Another thing. In the chartboard I had, they had brethren and one particular brother, like they didn't have proof, but he was kind of messing up and brother stand up in the brother and say, this money. You tell me we got good board meeting here. Tell me this money. Start having him. He ended up marrying a sick girl. I didn't even know if he married a girl legally. Point I'm trying to make. When you're pointing finger at other people, when you're looking at the dust in other people's eye, see the plank. You got the plank forced from your own eye. Amen? Yeah. Isn't that so? Examine yourself and see where they be what? In the what? Examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. King James have it this way. Examine yourself and see where they be in the faith. Now, how do you get in the faith? How do you get in the faith? By accepting Christ as your what? As your Savior. And your Lord. Isn't that so? Isn't that so? Isn't that so, Brother Kenneth?
Yeah.
Good. When you accept Christ, you're in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and to be in Christ means that you have to receive him. And when you are in Christ, you're in the vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine, ye are the what? Branches. Here it what? Abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. So, examine yourself and see. Please bring up King James Version to me. I read it through the King James, and I might have a better understanding. God. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith, right? Prove your own self, knowing not your own self, that how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. You know the word reprobate in there? Huh? A failure. You're a failure. Right? So who you gotta examine? Now you think once you start in the faith, you're always in the faith? Huh? Just if a man abides not in his cast out as a what? As a branch in his what? Wither up. So you need to get into the faith. And then after you get into the faith, that is the greatest thing in life, to be saved. But after you get into the faith, you need to maintain the faith. Amen. Right? In other words, keep on. How many people do you know, many years ago, they were on fire for God? There was one, a friend of mine. He used to go to Eccles Church, Eccles Assembly of God. And this boy was real good. Me and he used to move together. The man move when he come, I went to Canada, and he's still serving the Lord now. Started off so good. How many people do you know started off with fire and brimstone, so to speak? Not brimstone, fire right there. So much of fire. One particular brother, we were about the same age, he started off and he was real good. You got to admire him. He got took some brown, maybe deacon, minister. Oh, wow, there's a man that crawled like a turtle. They can't make him much progress. Mary had a beautiful wife. Mary teaching girl. And they had a church and everything. I'm not saying it's a degree, but anyhow, I'm not calling you. I'm not saying, but I'm just trying to show you, right, that you must continue in the faith. Next time you beat up your wife. Past beating up your wife. Now, I wonder if they divorced him. They divorced now, they divorced. And he was such a good man, but he started off well. But he that endured what? Yeah. He that endured to the end. Now some people start out great. You see when some people before they're married? Oh boy, you can't get between your best, don't say nothing about them. They're so close to one another. Oh, you can't master by it. I love you and you love me and blah, blah, blah. And then a year passed by and a couple. And then he walked in the front, she walked in the back. Before time, they're hugging up and holding hands. So now you got your license to hold the hand and have up, and now you're down in front, she got in the back. Isn't that so? So what, you know, Jesus said something in the church at Ephesus. I have somewhat against you because you left what? You left your first love. So you must examine yourself, see whether you're still in the faith. Now, if you want to maintain your faith, how you maintain your faith? If I ask a lot of people this question, I tell them I went in the church to preach, right? This church, this man exists in life because he's a pastor's son. And he tells me the pastor, he exists in a good time. And with his father and everything, got a good church thing, a tour or something. And I just share what the Lord had me to share. I said, did any of you ever hear a message? He said, no, we never hear one like this yet. Never, never, never. Because when you preach, you should preach by revelation. Isn't that so? Huh? Never, never hear one like this. So, if I ask you how you can maintain your Christian, maintain your faith, and not maintain being the Lord, what would be your answer to me? What got to do to maintain? Keep the Ten Commandments?
Keep in contact.
All right, look at that. That looks like one come up on the board. All right. Let's take this off. Let's bring up 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Let me show you how you maintain your faith now. It's one thing to get in the faith, it's another thing to maintain the faith, right? How many people know had come into the faith, but they're not in the faith anymore? You don't know some people like that? Come on, you don't know some people like that? Some went out, but thank God they come back, amen? Amen, God could use them mightily. So look at this now. And whatever we ask, we receive of him. Now, who we asking here?
Jesus.
Who we asking here for? What we... Are this board is bigger than me. That one is it. And whatever we ask, I think he's referring it to God, whatever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Why do you think sometimes our prayers are not answered? Let me get it again. Let me get a point. I remember Sean. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Now, why do we receive things of him? This expository, right? Why do we receive things from the Lord? Because we what? Keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So when we're not having our prayers answered, let's ask ourselves, are we keeping the commandments of God? Once we keep the commandments, we are supposed to have our prayer answered, isn't that so? Now let's find out what is the commandments though. Right? Let's find out what is the commandments though. If you love me, what Jesus said? The next verse. And this is his commandment. That we should what?
Believe.
Come on. That we should believe or keep on believing. What? On the name of his son Jesus Christ. And love one another as he gave us commandment. So listen. What we are to do now to maintain our connection to the Lord. It's to keep on believing that Jesus came and he what? He died for us. He was buried and he arose again. What the Bible says? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be what? So what are you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? Believe he came and he what? Died for you. He was buried and he arose again from the dead. Amen?
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 Amen.
That's what we are to believe. We're to continue. Now, do you still believe that?
Yeah.
Do you still believe that? Do you know some people? One time they believe that, they believe Christ came and died for them, he's buried and he rose again from them, and now they've gone back maybe to whatever they came from. Maybe Hinduism, maybe they've gone back to Hinduism, or they've gone back to Islam, or they've gone back to whatever. Huh? Well, we have to continue. Do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ came and died for you, he was buried and he rose again from the dead? Let me hear you.
Yeah.
So you need to continue to believe that. And then, and love one another. All right, this word love. We have to love. Well, who's the fourth? What did Jesus tell us is the fourth two commandment? Because of time, I think everybody should, everybody come church complete time, supposed to know it. Love God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Now, what means to love God? To love God means to know him, to have reverence and respect for him. To what? What else? To put him first in your life, to obey him, to make sacrifice for him, to trust him under all conditions and circumstances, and to don't let anything or anyone prevent you from loving him and serving him. So, and then you must love one another. So love God and love one another. But is it possible for love to love God and to love one another as God said that we should?
Yes.
Because what? What the Bible tells? The love of God is what? Shed abroad in our hearts. See, when God asks us to do something, he gives us the what? The ability to do it. So we're to love God and love our fellow men with the love that he put in our hearts. Amen? Let's examine ourselves. I know all of us, including myself, too. Sometimes you look at people and say, well, this is person, that. And we're ready to judge those people. But let us judge our own selves. Isn't that so? Amen? Let's see ourselves and see if we are continuing to believe on the Lord. Let's see if we are loving God and loving our fellow men. Now, I need another scripture. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. We're going back to the King James here. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. And hear what the word. Now, who's the first person you want to go to heaven? Who's the first person you want to go to heaven? Like you're not sure. Who's the first person you would like to go to heaven?
Myself.
This is who's the first person you would like to go to heaven? You're right. You're wrong. And I show you from scripture you're wrong. Every one of us here, the first one that we should want to go to heaven is ourselves. What's the use of preaching to 1,000 people, getting 100,000 people? You're preaching or you're teaching or you're singing, people get saved and you set out in the kingdom. You're cast away. What is the problem? You can profit the people here, but not me. Huh? And if you say that I'm the first person I get in the kingdom, you're wrong. Let me show you now. What Paul was telling Timothy now? Take heed unto what? Thyself. Examine your what? Yourself. To see where to be in the faith. Now to continue the faith, you need to keep on believing and the Lord Jesus Christ, loving God and loving your fellow man. Now, Paul was telling Timothy, now a young person, he was telling him, now take heed unto yourself. And unto your what? You know the word doctrine mean? What doctrine means? Teaching. Doctrine means teaching. So you take heed to yourself and your doctrine. Now, what is the two most important doctrine in the whole word of God? Two most important teaching in the whole word of God. What is it? I'm talking about after you come to know Christ as a Savior. You live for the Lord, the loving Lord, you have salvation. With the two most important doctrine in the word of God. Let me hear. And tell me if you know any other doctrine that's greater than this. I teach you over and I tell you over and over and over and over. The doctrine of what? Pleasing God. Living to please God and working to please God. Those are the two most important doctrine. Amen? So you must take heed to yourself and to your doctrine. So how about pleasing God? Is that your ambition, your plan, your wishes, and your goal in life?
Yes.
Do you know what was Jesus' ambition, plan, wish, and goal in life? All right. In John 8, 28 and 29 tells us, don't go there because our time factor. Jesus, our Lord speaking, says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. That was Jesus' reason for living, for working. Amen. It was to please us. Jesus sort of speaks, I don't care what they say. I don't care what they do. As long as I please my Father. That is what life. And he was the greatest person that ever lived upon the planet, upon this planet. Amen? What the Bible tells us? Christ have left us an example that we should what? Follow in his step. So are we following the steps of the Lord? Are in relation to this? As Christ lived, so are we to live. What Christ lived for? What was his passion? What was his goal?
To please the Father.
You know, but who say and who them say, you know, I sing and I preach and I teach and I clean. They never tell me thanks. Who are you doing it for? I mean, say you should, if people should be appreciative when people do things. Amen? You don't buy nobody. Because the final analysis is God, you got here with us. Well done, now what? Good. You live to please God. Now, when Paul the Apostle came on the scene, he's in my view, and in many Bible commentator view, he was the greatest of all apostles. Will you think he came with now? What did he say in 1 Thessalonians 2:4? What was the greatest apostle purpose in life? Our purpose, he said, is to what? Our purpose is to bring up that one. You're not come back here, right? In 1 Thessalonians 2:4, this is the greatest of all the apostles speaking now. And look what was his purpose in life. If you get this right, everything else will be right. If you get this wrong, you got a problem. All right. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but who?
God.
Come on. Not as pleasing men, but who?
God.
We tried our... You think God knows if he wants to please him or not? Huh? Something, you know, we judge people from outwardly. But God knows everybody's heart. He knows if you want to please him or not. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Come on, God knows if you want to please him or not?
Yeah.
Man look to the outward appearance, but God look to the heart. Yeah. When you're doing things, you think God knows if you want to... When you're doing it, if you want to please him or not?
Yeah.
Huh? Now, in order to please God, what is necessary? In order for you to go to heaven, you must go to Christ as a Savior. In order for you to be in Christ, you must accept him as a Savior. But if you want to please God, what is the first thing? The first thing you need to know Christ as a Savior and Lord. Isn't that so?
Yeah.
So, Brother Michael, yeah, you need to know Jesus as a Savior and Lord. And how do you know Jesus as a Savior and Lord? By accepting Christ as your Savior and Lord. So, when you accept Christ as a Savior and Lord, what happened there? You have a what? A relation with the Father. Because you become a child of God. But to as many as receive him, to them what? Give you power to become the sons of God, and then we believe on his name. So you now have what? Relationship. God become your father, and you become his child. From relationship comes what? Fellowship. Right? You have a father, you have a parent and children. From that relationship come what? Fellowship. Maybe the best time for fellowship is with the little ones. When they get big, you know something. You get people, they might get a little problem. But when they're little, maybe 2-3 years, and you have fellowship with them, oh boy, you enjoy it so much. Isn't that so? They must enjoy it while they're at that age. Enjoy. Of course, when they become big also, you can. This one here still want to play a baby. This one here, right? you still enjoy the fellowship. You still enjoy the fellowship. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that what the Word says? I mean, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of what? The Holy Spirit be with you all. So we have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. What means to have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit? What, in other words, what means to have fellowship with God? To have fellowship with God means to what? To think about God, to love God, to obey God, to talk to God, let God talk back to you, to live with God, let God live with in and through you, to work with God, let God work with in and through you, to be attached to Him, in other words, to be in the vine. Connected. Once you have a relationship, you can have true fellowship. But if there's no relationship, you cannot have fellowship. You can have a relationship and your fellowship could be broken, you know. You know that. Sin can break your fellowship. But thank God it could be restored to what? Confession. Then from fellowship come what? Worship. Isn't that so? Our whole life should be one of worship. Not only when we're singing, our whole life. Let your light so shine before men that they may what? See a good works and glorify what? So our whole life is to be one of worship. Not only sectionally, but totally. Then from worship, of course, come work. We work with the Lord before the Lord. And do you know as we do that, what happened? Because we're attached to the Bible, we become like God in character. Show me a man or woman who have relationship, who have fellowship, who worship and work with the Lord before the Lord. After time, you'll see that becoming more and sometimes we sing it. But we need to do the things that will help us to be like it. I want to be more and more like Jesus. Well, listen, singing it doesn't mean that they will come. You have to have the relationship, fellowship, worship, and work with the Lord and for the Lord. Amen. Then you become like the Lord and corrupt until you attach to the vine. From that, you know what happened? Secondly, you'll be fully satisfied. Well, if I see Christians and they're not satisfied and fulfilling their life, I kind of pity them, you know. Like, then learn what it means to trust God. And to abide in the Lord for everything. Listen, the Lord is your happiness. Do you know in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. And it's the right hand. Is the pleasure forevermore. And the joy of the Lord is what? It is strength. Now, once you're connected to the vine, everything that the vine have is passed on to the branch. You got to be satisfied. Is there any lack in the vine? Come on, is there any lack in the vine? Spirit, soul, and body, you're supposed to be. If you're not satisfied, I'm sorry for you. I'll tell you what to do, though. Because, listen, I'm not a billionaire, but I'm totally satisfied. You know why? Amen. My satisfaction comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from anybody else. Amen. It comes from the Lord. And then, toward me, you'll have the joy of the Lord, for in the presence of the Lord is what? Fullness of joy. The joy. Then, after that comes the other thing. Every problem could be solved, because you can cast all the cares upon Him for you, what? Cared for you. Then every need could be supplied. My God shall supply. Then protection will come because God is our shield and exceedingly great reward. And praise the Lord. When you live like that, we have no worries because absent from the body. Somebody asked you, if Jesus comes tomorrow, would you change your life or you live the same way? If you know Jesus coming tonight, would you change your life or live the same way? You ain't got nothing to change because I don't get up and I boast and just tell you what I did. I get up this morning about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I pray about three and a quarter hour. Praise the Lord. I read the Word. I spend time with the Word. So I do the same thing that I do. Some people say, if Jesus is coming tomorrow, my God, don't read the Bible, pray God. You must be always prepared for such an hour as you think not. Yes. The Son of Man cometh. So I didn't mean that no special preparation. You want to come today? If you want to come right now, no problem. You want to come in here after? If you want to come tonight, no problem. I can live the same way. Amen? Amen. Is that all about it? I got to make it right, you know? I gotta do everything. I teach the brother much. I teach the sister money. No more. Don't live like that. I can wait. That's why he said, "Don't let the what? Don't let the sun go down on your what? Your rock. If you and somebody get to me, sign before the sun go down, make it right. Because Jesus may come in the morning, Jesus may come at afternoon, Jesus may come in the evening. Keep your heart in tune, right? Amen. I'm talking in a general sense, right? I mean, I don't want to know that Jesus is coming and have to change my way of life. My way of life should be like that all the time. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right, I want that kind of time to get into all of that. If you would live here, I guarantee you this upon the authority of God's word. If all of us will live a life that is pleasing to God, let me tell you this. All the other things will be added to us. Hear me? All the other things, the most satisfied people in life, the most joyful people in life, the people that are having the problems of is those that are serving the Lord. And then a half-heartedly do. And thank you. You know why I like about God? He's no respecter of person. You're not because you're a pastor or a deacon, you're an elder. No. He does it for every one of us, his children. Because he's no respecter of person. You know, all of us are not attached to the same vine. Come on, all of us are got different vine. A vine for the pastor, and a vine for the elders, and a vine for one vine, right? And all of the vine have passed on to all the branches, not some of the branches, isn't that so? So all of us are supposed to become like Jesus. All of us are supposed to be satisfied and fulfilled. All of us are supposed to have the joy of the Lord. All of us are supposed to have our problems solved, need supply, be protected, and when we die, go to heaven. Every one of us. So what I want to encourage us, I know Christmas coming up. And in Guyana, I gotta say like James, no, excuse my tongue. Excuse my words, but anyhow, maybe I know. They have a song go like this. Drink a rum on a Christmas. My name drink a rum. I'm a drinking the drink. But you already know the song. Oh, when you saw me in the Lord, somebody asked a minister, minister friend of mine, say you drink, he say I drink, but I don't drink them cheap stuff. I don't drink them cheap stuff. I drink it like XM and whatever. I said, drink from the Lord. They're not cheap stuff, amen? There's precious stuff. Because when Jesus said, if any man thirsts, let him come out to me and what? Drink! I'll drink them cheap stuff, man. Oh, kindly skin them, kind. I'm not kind. They want to drink from the Lord. And they're going to have a ball with the devil. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Christmas time, they tell you you're drinking more. You see, to be honest, you during Christmas, I'd be more careful. Because the temptation is more there, right? Isn't that so? I'd be more careful. I pray the same. I'm doing everything, because I got to be careful. Because the enemy will want to come in like a flood, amen? Drunk out you. But listen, you live for the Lord every moment of your life. Isn't that so? Yeah. Christmas time or no Christmas time? Amen. Easter or no Easter? Whatever, whoever, whatever. Every day with Jesus is what? I must have Jesus in my whole life, and I'm walking, talking, sleeping, waking. And then imagine if you take an excursion from the Lord. You say, Lord, all right, today I'm going to do my own story, and then come back tomorrow and I'll touch you. And the same thing, God, the rapture come. Or you fall down and die. Don't take them chance, though. I said, don't take them chance, though. Praise the Lord. I'm wrapping up now. Praise the Lord. So, who we should live to please? Doctrine, who we should please? I'll bring back 1 Timothy 4, 16. I want to wrap up. But I want to make this point before I go. 1 Timothy 4, 16. I hope everybody's convinced that we should live to please God. 24/7, every moment of our lives. Amen? 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 Amen. You know, when you're in the church, you're something. When you go home, when you're at your workplace, when you go, I'm among whoever, you're something else. Take your stand. Amen. Let them know you're a Christian and you're not going for certain things. Isn't that so? Amen? Amen? Yes. Take it unto thyself and unto the doctrine. So we just briefly look at the doctrine of living to please God. What about working to please God? You know everything you do, whether you're doing secular work or you're doing church work, you should do it as unto the Lord. Colossians 3:23 tells us, whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. So when you do New Living Translation, render this verse as follows. Work hard and cheerfully at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. So whenever you do something, now even at your job, do you know that Christians are supposed to be the best work people?
Yeah.
Amen? You should work so good at your workplace that the boss will say, watch, he's an exceptional worker. He's a good worker. Amen? If they lose you, they lose something from the company because you're good. Because whatever you're doing is unto the
Lord.
Isn't that so?
Yeah.
Do your best. When people want somebody, say, you're number one on the list. Amen? After others will come down. Facility worker that was working in Shell, Thailand, she was number one on the list. And she used to recommend people to come in and get jobs. And some of them came too. Amen? You'll be good at your job. Isn't that so? Whatever you're doing. Because what you're doing is something. What about the church? Should we give less? If all of us should treat the church, the house of God, the way we treat our jobs, we'll have a powerful church. You don't think so? You don't think so? So just as you treat your job, where the secular job is unto the Lord, be the one here to us unto the Lord, amen? I'm not trying to get in anybody in particular. Do you go to church? If your work is 8 o'clock, do you reach 9 o'clock for your job? And let me see, continuously, do you do that? We're going to have massive thing. You come in there doing things sloppy. And what's going on here, man? Boss, come wrong, you know? And we threaten the boss. But we got bigger boss than you boss, amen?
Amen.
And the eyes of the Lord went to and fro, beholding the good and the evil. That's why some people, maybe one, two at a time, commit with them. Whenever they do things to the Lord, they're committed in doing it. That's the kind of people I like to see. Amen? Committed to whatever they're doing. They say, listen, if it's me alone, I'm coming to work, but God doing it for the Lord. Amen? Commitment we want is with the Lord. So you must do it as unto the Lord. Not because somebody tell you something. Somebody say, your foot, you know, like you're too fat or something. Mean come back to tomorrow. You know, you're not telling me what's fat. Put your foot. I mean, I look at your head. You ain't got good haircut. I mean, come back to church because you didn't tell me about my head. Oh, I had to make some flimsy excuse. You don't come to church and do things for the Lord. But listen, in the final analysis, brothers, you see, you're not standing before me and giving a pump for your life and service. It's the Almighty God, amen? Amen? It should be done to the best. Remember the woman with the alabaster box? Did anybody tell her to go and do that for the Lord? She did it willingly. Amen? And we must work for the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians 10 to 1, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Whenever you're doing something, are you doing it so God get glory?
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah? It must be done with the right motive. Are you doing it to be seen of men? If you're doing it to be seen of men, you have your reward already. Isn't that so?
Amen.
Isn't that so? Amen. You're doing it with the right motive. Not only do it because you love God and love your fellow men. Say, God, I have enough. I don't know if people see the work of the Lord. Well, it may come. If I boycott it, you can go down. But you can go down, not the work of God. You can go down, not the work of God. King Saul played the fool. He said he played fool. God gave him a glorious opportunity to be king and to do whatever he had to do. And he running after David because he played the fool, David. So to speak, God put him aside. I got another man. I got a man by the name of David. And he can, and amongst this, paraphrasing, he will do what I want him to do. So when God gives an opportunity to do something, man say, Lord, thank you, Lord, you could have chosen someone no good like me, Lord. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to do whatever, whether it's a preach or teach or play instrument or sing. Thank you very much for choosing me, Lord. Look how many people are not where I am. I thank you for that opportunity. Thank you. You know some people that sing with a passing? You know that? But some people that's a beautiful voice. Amen? Beautiful voice. And they said that I'm using it for the Lord. I don't want it for going now. I had two friends, right? I don't think they mind calling them. Many, many years ago, 20, 30 years ago. Brother Danny and Brother Stuart. One sing duet. Brother Danny was singing F card and trying to put in the power prison. Brother Danny was singing F card and Brother Stuart was singing C card. And the day from the thing. Now, what do you think people can do? People can listen to God. People laugh. Not a laughing at the individual in the general sense, but the F card and they're trying to sing. Right? I said they should laugh and whatever. But not everybody God give the talent to sing. The point I'm trying to make, amen?
Amen.
But some people are gifted when they sing, oh boy, you're blessed. Isn't that so? Some people when they preach and teach, you're blessed. Some people when they play instruments, you're blessed. Now God give me the opportunity to do whatever little you can do. Don't play with him, macho, you. If I come, they can't go. Who said? Who said thing and go on? God programmed in the whole land this church existing. Before some of us were not here, the church is existing, still existing, and always exists. Because who? God is in charge of it. Isn't that so? God is in charge of this church, not me. And when you come or don't come, God will go on. If you come, God will bless you and make you a blessing. If you don't come, God will get somebody else. Amen? Now don't think you're indispensable. God will check out, you know, when it's my Abnababna. Out goes you. When the fool God said, King Saul, out go you. Come in, David. Amen? So I don't know how we take it. We got to take this thing seriously, brother. We got an opportunity to work with the Lord and smoke with the Lord. Let's do our best. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that so?
Amen.
So take heed unto yourself. I'm going to close up now. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine teaching. What you must do now? What's this word? The one time you hear nothing. I know some people, because of good reason, because they have to work, and because of sickness and other reason, sometimes people can't make it, right? We understand that, isn't that so?
Amen.
We understand that. But continuing them, that's sometimes you hear something, and I hear something, you want to know where you're there. Isn't that so? Continuing them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save who?
Thyself.
Who?
Thyself.
Who? The self force.
Yeah.
Isn't that so? This is John, you were correct. You see who you can see it first? Yourself. And them that hear thee. And after you get saved, then you can bring other people in the kingdom. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Amen. Fourth body you must want to get saved is you. Fourth body you want to go to heaven. With all due respect to you, it's me. I ain't loving no brother, no sister, no nothing to push me out of the kingdom. That's when the preacher and the second be disqualified. They can't. No way. I can make sure I got the heaven force. And say, all the rest now, you can follow me. Follow me. But if you can go straight, I must go straight also. Forget about it. I ain't going no straight. So let's be in court, brethren. Don't examine other people. Examine ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
I've made this a principle in my life. I say, Lord, I need knowledge. I get knowledge from the word. But I must not only have the knowledge, I must practice the knowledge. Amen? Must not only practice the knowledge, I must preach and teach the knowledge. When you do these three, you're on the right track. No, you should know the knowledge, and you're practicing, you want to preach it and teach it. Huh? You got to know it first, then practice it, then preach it and teach it. Isn't that so? Then you will be a blessing. So let us be encouraged. Examine who self?
Myself.
Who you want to go to heaven first?
Myself.
So you want to go to heaven, so you got to do the things now to get in the kingdom, to stay in the kingdom. Isn't that so? Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.